Chapter 6. To the Death. It is easier to forgive an enemy than a brother. Proverb of the 500 Worlds. Thiel fired his bolt gun. His men began shooting too. In that first moment, in that first eye blink, time hung in the air, as weightless as a bar of sunlight. Gilliman's transhuman physiology accelerated from nothing to hyperfast response. Practical. Read. Move. React. Read everything. No other thoughts. Practical. He read the storm of bolter rounds spitting from gun barrels. He read the white-hot muzzle flashes almost frozen mid-belch by the suspension of time as his heightened reactions propelled him to a new state of response. He read the mass-reactive shells in the air, travelling, burning, towards him. Gilliman was already moving, already turning. His right hand was grabbing the edge of a heavy Sunderwood chart table and pulling it, overturning it. Practical. Read everything. So many variables, but so few that will make a difference. Extreme close quarters. Outnumbered and outgunned. Not even the slightest margin for error. Time seeped like resin. The top of the flipping table, heavy as a drawbridge gate, and suddenly rising to meet Thiel like a bulldozer blade, took the first four rounds, virtually point blank. The mass-reactive shells detonated, biting vast wounds out of the dense, aged hardwood, filling the air with splinters and burning fibres. One leg of the table came spinning away. Gilliman was diving sideways, behind the exploding tabletop, full length in mid-air. The table completed its overturn and crashed against Thiel and the Ultramarines beside him, forcing them to backstep. All of the other visitors were firing. Six bolt rounds missed the diving Primarch, annihilating a section of the high chamber wall and several portraits hanging upon it. Others hit the spilled table and a chair beside it. Another clipped Gilliman's left shoulder guard and detonated. His plate protected him from the worst of it, but the heat of the nearest detonation scorched his left cheek and the nape of his neck, and shrapnel peppered the side of his face. He hit the carpet, rolling, his tumble distorted by the glancing impact. A weapon discharge alarm started screaming. Why so late? The shooting had begun hours before, days before. No, time was just trickling like syrup. Concentrate. The odds are too bad in such a confined space. If the residence's bodyguard reacts fast enough... The Ultramarines, who had hung back by the door, of course one of them would cover the exit for such an ambush, clamped a magnetic device onto the doorframe and twisted it. The public hatches slammed shut. They were locked in together, the Primarch and 10 would-be killers. Traitors! Turncoats! Why? Gilliman was still rolling. Mass reactives chewed holes in the carpet, chasing him, filling the air with flock fibres and shreds of matting and underfloor. Mass reactives punched holes through the furniture he was rolling between, blowing out chair backs and arms. The air was full of cushion stuffing, blizzards of the stuff. Why? Why, Thiel? Don't think about that. It's just a distraction, robbing focus from all that actually matters. Practicals. Practicals. Read everything. Move. React. A throne built for a Primarch's stature, punctured twice through the seat back by bolt rounds, began toppling onto the Lord of Ultramar. I'm damned if I'll die on my knees. Gilliman rolled onto his back, put his weight on his shoulders, met the falling throne with bent legs, and kicked out. The throne left the ground, its direction of movement violently reversed. The flying mass of it felled three of the traitors in its path. I'll die on my feet if I have to die, even the odds. Time was still as slow as glue. He could see individual bolt rounds in mid-air, leaving comet trails of fire behind them. He sprang into the face of the nearest killer. He seized the man's right wrist with his left hand and yanked his aim aside so that the bolt gun barked uselessly at the ceiling. Plaster dust showered like spilled sugar. Gilliman kept his grip tight, twisting the space marine around in front of him, turning him into a shield to meet the bolter rounds crawling through the air towards him. Three rounds hit the man in the lower back, rupturing his plating and blowing out his spine. Gilliman felt the impacts transmitted through the body in his grasp, saw the spinning shards of ceramite armor plating, fragments of blood and flesh, splashing droplets of blood. He reached down with his oh-so-unarmored right hand and grabbed the handle of the man's sheathed gladius. Then he wrenched sideways with his left hand, flinging the dead man aside like a doll. The motion left the gladius drawn in Gilliman's bare right hand. Scaled to the Primarch, the short sword seemed little more than a large combat knife. The flying corpse, showering blood, loose-limbed and whirling horizontally, hit two of the other killers in the faceplates and knocked them onto their backs. Gilliman turned, shearing the blade of the stolen gladius through the extended forearm of the next nearest killer. The veteran's bolter fired once as it fell to the floor, still clamped in the severed fist. Gilliman put his foot in the man's belly and kicked him away, grabbing the hilt of his adversary's sheathed power sword with his left hand as he did so. A captured blade drawn in each hand, he recoiled sharply, turning his face aside as a mass-reactive shell burned past his cheek like an angry insect. Then he rotated, burying the edge of the power sword in the side of an ultramarine's head. The helmet parted, so did the skull. Gilliman saw grinning teeth in a skinned gumline and a dislodged eyeball. Three down, two of them dead. But Gilliman was upright, and he was a big target. No matter that time had slowed to a glacial pace, he was not the only being in the room with transhuman reactions. His assailants were of the Legiones Astartes, and that made them the most potent warriors in the Imperium. Gilliman took his first solid hit, a bolt round to the shoulder. He felt his armour plate crack and compress, felt the sledgehammer slap of it, felt the searing pain of the fragments that had penetrated his body. A second hit an instant later, lower back, and then a third, right hip. Dizzying pain, impact. He was fighting for balance. There was blood in his mouth. He saw his own blood glinting as it ran down the scorched cobalt blue surface of his leg armour. Another bolt around caught him in the left side, exploded and threw him hard into the room's massive desk, a piece hewn from the granite of the Hera's Crown Mountains. He had to drop the gladius to steady himself. Ornaments, trophies and documents scattered off the desk in all directions. Gilliman managed to roll his body against the edge of the desk so that the next round struck its surface rather than him. The polished stone fractured and crazed like glass. Roaring, Gilliman pushed away from the desk, sidestepped another hurtling round and swung the power sword at the shooter. He felt the collision impact shiver along the blade. The man left the ground, head, back, arms rising, as if he had run throat first into a tripwire. A small dish of blue metal flew off sideways. The power blade had sheared through the cranium of the warrior's helm, carving off a slice of it. Blood drizzled from the perfectly circular hole in the helm's ceramite, the concentric rings of scalp and bone, and then the exposed brain tissue beneath that. He landed hard. Gilliman wanted to reach for the man's bolter, but another round took him in the chest and blew him back against the desk. They were coming at him. All those he had knocked down but not finished were on their feet again. He groped for the fallen gladius on the desk, missed it, and found a marble bust of Conor's father instead. He hurled that. It struck one of the killers in the faceplate hard enough to turn his head and smash a visor lens. Gilliman's rummaging hand located the gladius. He hurled that, too, like a throwing knife. It impaled the neck of the assassin he had just dazed with the marble bust. The man lurched several drunken steps sideways and collapsed, blood gouting from under his chin. Gilliman was hit again, left hip. The pain was so fierce he wondered if his pelvis had fractured. Two more shots went past his head to the left, missing him by less than a hand's breadth. Gasping with pain, the avenging son threw himself backwards over the desk in an evasive roll, trying to get its granite bulk between him and the relentless bolters. Stone chips and fragments whizzed out from every fiery impact. The front and top of the desk quickly began to resemble the cratered surface of a moon. One of the attackers leapt on the desk to fire over the side at the sheltering Primarch. Gilliman came up to meet him and put the power sword through both of the assassin's knees with a double-handed stroke that felled the man like a sapling. One leg remained standing on the desk's top, supported by its heavy armour casing. Gilliman could feel blood leaking inside his buckled, perforated armour. He could feel blood running from the torn tissue of his face and neck. He could hear the palace guard hammering at the high chamber door. The guard could not open the doors, public or private. If they had no override, then the assassins had brought a system jammer with them. Premeditated, clever, ingenious, in fact. Not the actions of bitter, disaffected veterans, nor the behaviour of warp-damaged maniacs. "Who are you?" Gilliman demanded of anyone and no one. His voice sounded small, enclosed by gunsmoke, cinched by pain. More bolt rounds came his way in answer, flaring out of the Physaline smoke that clogged the air. Gilliman threw himself flat. Bolts kissed the ruined desk and struck the high windows behind him, creating cobweb patterns of cracks in the strengthened glass. Part of the window drapes collapsed. A picture fell off the wall and its frame shattered. A bookcase toppled over, spilling its contents in an avalanche of paper and leather bindings. How many had he finished? 5. And one other with a hand severed. Was it 5? How many of them would it take to finish him? He glanced around. The man he had cut off the desk was sprawled beside him on his back, still twitching. Blood had already stopped jetting from the stumps of his thighs, but the carpet around him was dark and soaking. He was reaching up weakly, aiming his bolt gun at Gilliman. Gilliman rolled and impaled the assassin to the floor with the power sword. The man went into juddering spasms and died. Gilliman wrenched the bolt gun out of his dead grip, like the one Prato had lent him the night Dantioch manifested. It was like a pistol to him. It only fitted his ungauntleted hand. That hand was dripping with blood. He heard the remaining assassins exchanging guttural, coded words as they fanned around the devastated desk through the smoke to finish him. He didn't understand what they were saying. It wasn't an ultramarine's battle cant. It didn't matter that he didn't understand. Practical. Read everything. React. That exchange told him plenty. It placed them, sound and relative angle. He knew, without having to see, that two were coming around the desk to his left and one to his right. He went to the left. He came around the desk, firing. One kill, solid. A headshot, a red fog. A second, two through the chest. Something ran into him from behind. His mouth opened wide, a silent howl, as he felt the sharp, cold bite of a gladius blade punching through his backplate armour and running in under his ribs. It stayed there. It was wedged. Gilliman wheeled and smashed his gauntleted left fist into the face of the swordsman. The ultramarine was somersaulted backwards by the force of the blow. He hit the windows, face first, upside down. Despite the cobweb cracks, the glass did not break. The man dropped in a heap on the floor beneath them. Gilliman turned to track the remaining killers. The damned gladius was still stuck through him. At least 2 shells struck his left shoulder armour behind his ear and detonated. He felt as though his head had snapped off to the right with the shockwave. He felt heat and ferocious pain. He tasted blood and physaline, his ears ringing, his vision gone. He fell. He couldn't get up. He was half propped against the desk or an overturned chair. He couldn't see. He fired blind. It was pointless. He fired again. He felt a blade against his throat. "Death to the false emperor," said the voice Gilliman had thought belonged to Aeonid Thiel.
"Let me die, knowing what you are," Gilliman whispered. A laugh. "Your killer. What else? What else are you?"
"I am Alpharius," said Thiel. Then the hateful rumours from Istvan of treacherous masquerade and false colours were true. The Alpha Legion would employ any means. The deception through which this execution had been accomplished, the impeccable covert approach, it made sense. Gilliman had never had any martial respect for the elusive, cowardly tactics of the youngest Legion. But this had been superlative.
"One thing you should learn from this moment. servant of the Alpha Legion, Gilliman said. When you have to murder a Primarch, and you get one at your mercy, do not waste the moment answering his questions when he still has a bolter in his hand.
Gilliman fired. Thiel was thrown away from him by the force of the point-blank shot. The assassin's blade left a deep scratch across Gilliman's exposed throat. Blood welled. He rose to his feet, unsteady. His clouded vision began to return. He saw the last assassin, the one whose hand he had chopped off, crawling across the high chamber floor, struggling to find a bolt gun.
"Enough," Gilliman said, and shot him through the back of the head.
Then he dropped to his knees and realized how tired he was. At some point after that, the Invictus Guard finally cut through the main doors.